阅读、科技、旅行，
生活可以很大，对话设计、学习，思考不嫌太多。这里是 iTunes 获奖播客《狗熊有话说》，一听就停不下来的哦。
Hello， 大家好，这里是独立知识型脱口秀 Bear Talk 狗熊有话说，我是大狗熊。今天呢是一个晴朗的周六，对于奥克兰或者说对于新西兰喜欢读书的人来说呢是一个大日子，因为这是新西兰每年一度的书展 NZ Book Festival， 那么在奥克兰举行了。那么去年大狗熊来到这里呢，有看到一些很有趣的书，还有一些很棒的作者。今年呢我们来到这里不太一样，因为今年我邀请到一位在新西兰童书界非常有名的可以算是一个大师啊，然后他自己有创作了很多本不一样的这个童书，那么也是一位教育专家，对于儿童绘本还有这个童书的教育非常有自己的见解。那么今天呢我们这期节目是一个专访。Okay, hello everyone, and in this episode we have a special guest from NZ Book Festival, and we are here to do a podcast about a story of a cartoonist, and we have a special guest, Stu Dovell, here. Sorry, did I say your name right?
Pretty much.
Sorry about that.
Duval.
So it's not an English name, right?
Or it's a French name.
Oh, so?
Yeah, great-grandparents came from France.
Wow. That's,
everybody in New Zealand is an immigrant, you know. We all come from somewhere else. So.
Yeah, much earlier than me.
Yeah.
Because I just arrived two years ago.
2 years, yeah. Or Nihon, yeah.
That's great. Yeah, Stu, I did a little research about your work and your career, and I found you have many titles.
Yes.
You know, you have as a graphic artist,
yes.
cartoonist,
yes.
and teacher, preacher, and creative director. So which one do you think is the most important one for you?
Storyteller.
Wow.
A lot of the jobs I've been involved in are telling stories. Either in art, through my illustrations, through my books, through my speaking, public speaking. So storytelling is at the heart of everything.
Wow.
A good story.
That's the core.
Yeah. Everything else is on top of that. Yeah.
Wow. I'd love to hear that because it's just raised the bar of all the titles, because the other one, I think they are great. They are, but they are more related to technique.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but storytelling is like
it's behind them all.
Yeah. It's fundamental of human.
It's human
connection.
It's the oldest human profession.
Yeah.
Storytelling. We were telling stories around campfires back in the Stone Age. You know, stories have always been important to every culture, and it's important that every culture keeps its stories and transmits its stories, tells its stories. So the next generation takes those stories and adds their own.
So when did you start your career as a storyteller?
Well, I started as an artist. I left school and tried many jobs, but loved art. So found my place as an artist. That's telling stories through graphic design, through illustration. But then the storytelling was something I'd always did in the background. I would tell stories to groups of children in the various clubs and scouts. I was involved in scouts. Do you have scouts? Did you have scouts in China? Something similar? Pioneers or something similar? Oh, I don't know.
Different.
Different. Yeah. But, you know, groups of kids together and would tell them stories. And when I had my own children, I would tell them stories. And I loved telling stories. And I realized I could combine my love of art and my love of storytelling together. So that's where I started.
That's many years ago.
Yeah, about 20 years ago.
Wow.
It was the year 2000, the big millennial change, you know. Everybody was making new century wishes. What would they do? And
At that time, your wish is to become...
That time I was working in a corporate, I was an artist working in an advertising agency.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I thought that night, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book and get it published and then start touring around and selling my story. And from that moment on, that's what I did and have never looked back.
That was a new beginning.
New beginning, 18 years ago, yeah. Yeah.
You also mentioned about you tell story to your kids.
Yes.
Yeah. So could you tell me more about your family and?
Sure. I have a wife and two boys. Mm-hmm. That they are older now, and they're 18.
Yeah.
But when they were younger, I would go to their bedside every night and make up a story.
Wow.
They liked the stories I made up better than books that I would read to them. So I would go to their bedside and they would say, "Tell us a story, Dad." So a lot of the stories, a lot of the books I've written evolved from that. That those stories became the boys' favourites.
So almost every night?
Almost every night. In fact, almost every night. And driving in the car and car journeys, we would tell stories for long journeys. And it just became part of what we did, these stories.
Do you remember one example, one story?
Yes, this is the one here.
Oh, wow.
It's Captain Black Custard. It's my oldest story. It's a story I've been telling for years and years. It started with my own boys and then to groups of school children. And every time I would tell it, they would say, write a book. So just now, I've written the book. It's taken 18 years to write, but here it is.
Wow.
So it's an example of a story I made up and has now become a book that can be enjoyed by generations of children. So... Yeah.
So that makes me curious because I found, for one thing, a lot of dads, their excuse is too busy to communicate, to share stories with their kids. And this is something I will ask later. But the other thing is you made up your own stories.
Yes.
So what drives you at first place you keep doing that? So how did you keep doing that?
Because there's so many stories to tell. There's millions of stories to tell. I have millions of ideas. Yes.
Wow.
So many stories. So in the boys' case, they would give me things to tell stories about.
Yeah.
They would say, make up a story about the color red, the number 13, or this race car, their toy. And I would have to combine those. That was the game we played. Every night they would say, make up a story about a watch, a pair of glasses, and the number 36. And so I have to make up a story about combining those three things. So a lot of the stories that I made up came from that game we used to play. But stories are everywhere. I say stories are like sparrows. They're everywhere. You don't see them because you don't look for them.
Yeah.
People don't see sparrows.
Yeah.
But if you look for sparrows, you'll see them everywhere. And I see stories like that.
Mm.
When I go outside, there's thousands of story ideas like sparrows.
Mm.
So you'll never run out of story ideas.
Mm.
And you'll never run out of children and adults who love stories.
Mm.
They're always looking for new stories and a different story and, as well as their favorite stories.
I'm just curious, did you feel tired sometimes when you just feel... Okay, tonight I'm too tired to tell stories.
Many times.
Yeah.
Many times. Especially when I turned from telling my children stories to becoming a professional storyteller. So I tour around New Zealand. I do 100 schools a year.
Mm-hmm.
I speak to thousands and thousands of children. So after you've come home from a school and you've been sharing stories all day with 800 children... The last thing you feel like doing is telling a story to your own child. Your voice is sore, you're tired, but that's the most important. My wife always told me, if I was tired and the boys were calling out for a story, she'd say, "You've been telling your stories to 800 strangers, now go and tell that story to your own flesh and blood." That's the important, and it is. That's the important one. Don't miss that out.
Yeah.
Too many dads are trying to invest in their business and invest in their company or, but they don't invest in their own children.
Mm.
And the biggest investment you can make into your children's lives is through the spoken word. Mm. Children will often forget the story you've told them, but they'll remember the way you told it. They'll remember your voice.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a memory of your grandmother or grandparents, mm. their voice.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. Mm. And that's what kids remember. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a very good, awesome advice for a lot of dads, including me. You know, sometimes I just found after a long, hard working day, it's really tired, but when you realize it is really important, not just for you, but for them, for your kids and for the family, and
it binds them together. It binds you together.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, the kids are growing up.
Yeah.
And they don't want stories anymore.
Yeah, just a short time. You know, you can.
So it's a very short time you can influence your children.
Yeah.
And it has so many benefits. Mm. It creates a world of imagination in their mind.
Mm.
As you're telling a story, they're imagining it, not with a digital device.
Mm.
I say to my boys, because they love digital devices,
yeah.
I say, get your face out of Facebook and get your face into a real book, you know. Because with your real book, you create your own imaginations, your own digital world in here, which is much more powerful.
Yeah.
And it sets them up to be creative in life, visualizing the world around them, you know.
So you think for our ways to deal with digital equipments should be kind of limited, or encourage people.
You can't stop the flood.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't grow up with the digital devices. I grew up with books, but my children grew up with digital devices. They are digital natives.
Yeah,
that's their world.
Mm.
So I say to my son, just said to him last night, he wants to read the Harry Potter books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to encourage him to read, you know, because reading's good.
Yeah.
He said, I don't like books, Dad. I say, then go to your digital device.
Mm-hmm.
So he downloaded Harry Potter
mm-hmm.
onto his iPad,
mm-hmm.
and he's reading it on his iPad.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as he's reading.
Yeah.
You know?
Content is...
Content. It doesn't matter how.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how the story is told.
Mm-hmm.
That's how stories evolve. Doesn't matter how the story is told, either digitally or orally.
Mm-hmm.
There'll always be a need for storytellers,
mm-hmm.
and there'll always be a need for an audience.
Yeah.
So that will always be the same, no matter what medium you're using.
Yeah.
It's a blog,
mm-hmm.
or a written word, or an audio book in the ear. You know, when they listen to books on headphones.
Mm. Totally agree. I think that's where we have to change the mind, but we keep to know what's the most important thing.
Yes.
And for me, it's like to tell my daughter a story when she was about 1 year old, and that's easier.
Yeah.
Now she always be attractive by cartoons.
Yes,
and,
of course.
So
there's a balance.
Yeah,
has to be a balance.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I totally agree with your points that if you as a parent just spend a lot of time and really devote yourself in storytelling or in connection with kids, and they will remember that feeling. They didn't remember the exact story.
No, of course not. No.
Yeah.
And that's the key. It's not even the story.
Uh-huh.
It's the fact that you are investing time with them.
Yeah.
Now that's the story.
Yeah.
It's you and them, time.
Mm.
It doesn't matter if you're colouring in or building Lego or reading a book.
Yeah.
It's you and them, time together, one-on-one. The story is a way of capturing their imagination, but really it's just spending time with Dad.
That's a very awesome advice. And also, you mentioned you tell story to your kids. How old were them? Back then.
When I started telling stories, or right from them when they were 2, 3, 4, 5,
uh-huh.
6, right through primary.
Oh, okay.
School, yeah.
Yeah.
They love stories, you know.
Oh.
They love Dad telling them stories.
Hmm. So, do you think is there a golden period for storytelling?
Good question. Yeah, I think it's definitely the primary age. It's definitely,
yeah.
Say 4 to 8 is the perfect age because their mind is developing. Kids are very visual anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the danger in today's society. They lose that ability to be creative because their education system kind of crushes it out of them.
Yeah.
When they're young, they're limitless imaginations.
Mm.
You know, they pick up a crayon, they'll draw a figure with 1,000 fingers.
Mm.
You know, they won't bother just with 5.
Yeah.
Because they don't care. They're just drawing and they're... You know, but when they get to school, they kind of show, no, this is the way we're supposed to do it.
Yeah, just be
1 and 1 equals 2.
Yeah.
You know, it puts them in a box.
Yeah, the narrow.
So yeah. those early days, those 4 to 5 to 6 to 7, you know, they are very important.
Yeah,
you know.
So yeah. for those that are maybe not as good as make stories as you. Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, yeah. Buy books.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's
why there's authors. That's why there's writers.
Mm.
Because not everybody is a storyteller, you know.
Mm.
So that's...
Yeah.
Go and buy a book.
Yeah.
There are thousands and thousands of excellent books.
Yeah.
And read to your children, you know. Mm.
So do you have any recommendation... of your books and also from other authors for different age of child?
Yeah, well, I write right across... So this book here, my new one, is more for 5 to 8 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
And then I write a lot of 8 to 12 year old books, which are mysteries and thrillers and adventure stories, because kids love adventure, love mysteries.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
Yeah. And then I write more sort of a little bit of gothic horror or murder mystery for slightly older children, 12 to 16 year olds.
Uh-huh.
And then a book I wrote last year called Lonely Dog is more for an adult audience.
Mm.
So I write right across the genre, right across the age ranges. I like to go back and forward.
Mm.
Sometimes a picture book, sometimes a more weighty novel for an older audience. I like to do both.
Mm. That's great.
Yeah.
Do you have any other authors that you recommend?
Well, I like the old school authors. You know, I like, when I was growing up, I liked the old authors. I read Enid Blyton when I was young. I liked Tintin, Huger's Tintin, Asterix.
Yeah.
I love those stories. Mm. Always did. So I love those. These days, there's a huge variety, you know, of good authors around.
Mm.
J.K. Rowling's, of course, Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
Fantastic. David Williams, all his books. Hilarious, funny, wacky, British humour.
Yeah.
Very, very good, yeah.
So, and another question about book. If you trapped in a desert island, and which book will you bring for just one book?
Well, I would bring the Bible. I'm a great believer in...
Yeah. To hold you to survive.
Yeah, so I would... Yeah, I would give me words of wisdom to survive.
That's great.
So, but if I couldn't have that, then I would have... My favourite book is a book called The Wind and the Willows.
Ah, The Wind and the Willows.
British classic.
Mm.
And I read that when I was about 8 years old.
Mm.
And I still love it today. The language is beautiful. The story is beautiful.
Mm.
That's what I would bring to my desert island.
I think that's the second time I heard this book this month. The last time I read a book from Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman? From American author.
Yeah.
And he mentioned also he read his book, Wind of the Willows.
Yes.
And started his... decided to devote himself to be a novelist.
Yes, yeah, it's a great book. It's a beautiful language.
Yeah, I need to read that.
The book I wrote, Lonely Dog, which you could see in my stand over there, was inspired by that book.
Mm.
It's a similar book.
Wow.
Where it creates a fantasy world. In Wind in the Willows, it's a fantasy world of a toad, a frog, you know, a rabbit. They live in a real world and they talk and dress like we do. So my book Lonely Dog is the same with cats and dogs. Cats and dogs living in an imagined world, but it has its roots in books like Wind in the Willows.
Lonely Dog.
Yeah.
So One last question. Well, how can the audience, if anyone hear this podcast and try to find you, how could they find you? And how can they find
Yeah, well, the easiest way is through my website, yeah. obviously. So mm-hmm. that's just my name, stewdevell.co.nz.
Mm-hmm.
.co.nz.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to find me, and my books are all mm-hmm. there, my products.
Mm.
Make contact with me, purchase books online.
Mm.
Keep abreast of the new projects I'm working on. And,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Actually, this is the one last question.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of my audience are from China, and
yeah.
some of them are already had their kids, and as young parents,
mm-hmm.
do you have any advice for them? As a
young parent,
for those young parents, and you, you are like a pro in this field, in this cartoon and graphic,
yeah,
graphic field. So, but as a dad, so do you have any advice?
Yeah,
for them?
Good question. I think the best advice you could give is to stimulate their imaginations. Let them explore different ways of stimulating their imaginations. And the easiest way for kids to do that is through art and reading, or art and writing. So I just encourage lots of paper, lots of pencils, lots of crayons, and just let them draw, and draw, and draw, and draw. And let them just go crazy drawing, you know, creating their own world. And then reading as well. Have lots of books around. Make books just a part of your life. Not something special for birthdays and Christmas, but there's books just everywhere. So let them just read and come into contact with books, and come into contact with paper and pencil and draw and read, and it grows their imagination. I say, if you want to grow an imagination to reach the stars, you start with one story at a time, and that builds an imagination.
Yeah. No limitations.
No limitations. Do everything you can to stimulate their imagination. And not just digital. Digital's great, but the downside of digital is that it brings everything to the child, and it's there, laid out for them.
Mm.
It's like a meal. It's all there. They don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
They just eat.
Yeah.
Whereas if they help in the preparation of the meal, mm-hmm. if they help get the ingredients and grow the ingredients and cook the ingredients and lay the table, then when they eat the meal, there's another layer of enjoyment in that meal, because it's something that they had a hand in. And that's the difference between digital and the creative world, where the kids create and the kids have input. And yeah.
Wow. Thank you very much, Stu.
It's a pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You take care.
I really, really, really like all your opinions and advices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's all for this episode. And 好，谢谢大家收听这一期关于童书的节目。那么更多关于 Stu 的个人信息呢，我会放在我们的这个节目简介里面。然后大家也可以上 Stu 的网站去看他的作品和更多的关于他对于儿童教育的一些心得和见解。OK， 谢谢大家收听，我们下期再见，拜拜。